216-474-0092. I want your thoughts on this too. Jeff, let's start with you. LeBron James 3.0. Just what does that mean to you, if that's a possibility?
I look at it two different ways. I think if you put LeBron, even at his age, and even with the games that you know he's not going to play, he's not going to play 82 games. If you put LeBron between Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley, and then put enough pieces around them, I think that gives you a better team than what they have right now. I do. I think that would give you a better chance to win a championship with Mitchell, LeBron, and Mobley. And then whatever else you needed to do and to put around those guys.
Just currently, let me just give you the assumption that Allen and Garland are gone in that scenario for him to come here, right?
Yeah.
For him to be here, so now what's left?
Well, let me throw, there's one trade out there. Eric Pincus from Bleacher Report, who's been on our show, he does cap stuff like crazy. And Tom Haberstroh from Yahoo used Eric's thought in his story that he wrote the other day about this whole thing.
Okay.
And it was a big four-team trade. Lakers, Rockets, Utah, Cavs. Basic deal was this. Garland to Utah. They get center Walker Kessler. Houston would get Finney Smith from the Lakers in a sign and trade. Lakers would get Jared Allen and DeAndre Hunter.
Oh, so DeAndre Hunter's off. Okay.
And the Lakers would get LeBron and Bronny. Excuse me. The Cavs would get LeBron and Bronny. And then there'd be other, you know, guys might throw in to fill salary. So the Cavs would give up Hunter, Garland in this scenario, and Jared Allen, and get LeBron, and Walker Kessler, who's a good center and gives you a center to play instead of Jared Allen. That trade, to me, the DeAndre Hunter piece to me is like, ooh, I'd hate to have to give him up, but you probably would.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could give up Max Strus instead, you could do that maybe. I don't know. But that, to me, gives your team a better chance to win an NBA championship next year than keeping the core four together. It does.
If you're sitting in independence, you're thinking, are you thinking for more than, like, if you keep the core four together and they go beyond what we had seen last year, and you think that you're still pushing, are you trying to push towards multiple championships, or are you trying to push towards one championship? Because if you look at the NBA, we've gone 7 years in a row with different championship teams. Are you just trying to go in, get a piece of the pie, and get out? Because how much longer can LeBron play?
Not very long.
And then do they have to think that way?
Well, that's the catch to me is, okay, but that's a real short-term trade. I like Walker Kessler, though. Walker Kessler is a good young center for the Utah Jazz. And I think he'd be a fine replacement for Jared Allen. Okay, I don't want to trade Jarrett. If you could get Walker Kessler to play center, fine. That's fine. That would work just fine. And the thought is this. LeBron, short-term, gives you a better chance to win a title than what you have right now.
Right.
However, and tell me what you think about this. They want to keep the core four together. That's been the word. In this economic climate in the NBA, with the aprons and all that stuff, look what the Boston Celtics did. I mean, they tore it down because Jason Tatum's out. How long can the Cavs realistically keep the core four together with all of that money that's being spent on those guys, having the finances be in the second apron and limiting their ability to do things? You know, it almost seems inevitable to me that at some point they're going to have to bust those guys up anyway. At some point. So do you roll it back for another year, get knocked out in the second round again, and then go, oh, golly, that didn't work again? Because I don't think that team, the way it's built right now, wins a championship. I've said that. Kevin Durant recently said that, by the way, on a podcast. We're going to hear that coming up in the noon hour.
So there are two things that I kind of think about when I think about the scenario of him coming back. One, can LeBron James survive then with Mobley and Mitchell. How would that look? Would that work? And I'd say yes.
That trio would be phenomenal.
Yeah, and I say yes because he's done this before. He gets it. He understands it. And then it also goes into the next part, you know, does Dan Gilbert want LeBron to come back for a third time?
Well, there you go.
And does it mean, I still think that...
They so want to win one without him, Andy.
Okay.
They so want to win one without him. And they think they have the group to do it.
Is it easier just to hit the accelerate button again? If you're the Cavs, if you want to get another championship? And the other part of it is how is LeBron writing the story? LeBron always knows how to write the story. Let's be honest. He has been a trendsetter in the league since he came into the league. He did things that players have never thought or dreamed about before. He's probably one of the most powerful athletes I've ever watched off the court.
Hard to argue with that one.
In my entire lifetime.
It's a real small conversation there.
And whether it's LeBron or it's the folks behind him that are telling him to make the moves, LeBron still has to say yes at the end. And so you wonder, does LeBron James want to write his own ending? And does his own ending say, hey, let's figure out a way to get back to Cleveland. And if we do go back to Cleveland, I've got a better shot to get to the finals. And this is where we go to the heart of that story, why heading east could be the move for him, because you would feel that it's easier to win in the east. Because the East feels like it's wide open right now. Although teams seem to be getting better every day when you look at the moves they're making.
The one thing the Cavs have to do, Andy, I think, is be really critical when they look at what they have right now. Can they become a team that wins a championship with two small ball dominant guards? It really doesn't. You know, Dumars and Thomas. And Dumars wasn't as ball dominant as either one of the guys that we have right now. Can the Cavs do it? Sure, somebody will do it one day. Can the Cavs do it now? I don't know. I don't think that's the way to build a championship team, by having, you know, two smaller guys with a lot of shots between them.
But does Mobley, LeBron, and Mitchell, is that the way?
That's a whole different story.
Yeah.
It's an entirely different story. And Donovan could play point guard, and LeBron can play point forward.
And be okay with that. We've seen
absolutely.
And it's not like, you know, how many games do you think LeBron's playing?
7.4 assists in his career.
LeBron's
a great passer, and he's a willing passer. Has been since he was 17 years old.
Do you think, and I wonder, because, you know, Bronny is a part of this, seems like he's a part of this deal, if they would be able to pull something like this off.
Well, the nice thing is
where he goes, right?
He's still got stuff hanging on the walls in his bedroom back home in Akron.
Well, that's true. He didn't take him down when he moved out?
Just move right in.
You sure? They might be a little dated.
Doesn't matter. Move right in.
But he'd have to change the posters and stuff.
So what? I'll bet they can get a couple of bucks.
Do you think anywhere in the back, and I don't know where this is on the priority list for LeBron, no matter where, if he ends up leaving L.A., you know, the development of Bronny, does that come into play for him moving forward, or is this about LeBron himself?
Better be about LeBron himself.
I would think so, too. Bronny was asked about this. I thought I read that, you know, Bronny's like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm just happy to be where I am, right? Isn't that what he said? Dan, is this doing anything for you?
No. Back to you, Andy.
Do you think the Cavs have a better chance to win a championship next year in the kind of the scenario that's been laid out by multiple people?
With LeBron and Walker Kessler and without Jared Allen, DeAndre Hunter, and Darius Garland? Answer the question.
No. Back to you, Jeff.
Why are you so anti this?
I don't like investing in 41-year-old men.
See, that's the thing.
I don't care if he's a freak. I don't care if he's an alien. I don't care whatever you want to do. I don't like investing in 41-year-old men.
He is such an aberration because of he's just a physical freak. At the age of 40, 24.4 points a game, 8.2 assists per game, 7.8 rebounds per game. And he played in 70 games last year.
If he wanted to come here, if he wanted, didn't pick up the player option and said, I'm out, I want to be a free agent, I will sign with the Cleveland Cavaliers on a 1+1 for veteran minimum, and then some. Yeah, sure, I'm in. Sounds great.
See, if he really wanted to win a championship, he'd have done what Dan just said. and he would have come here and joined Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen.
I'm just not dumping two of my four assets for a guy who's 41. I'm sorry.
Except, Dan, aren't you going to have to dump those assets sometime down the road? Because
maybe
you're not going to be able to,
27?
You're not going to be able to survive in this financial climate if you keep that core four together.
For a guy who's 25 or 26, yeah,
if it doesn't win.
Let's go.
But what's it about? Is it, and remember, I'm Mr. Process. I'm Mr. Build Long Term. You don't have draft choices to build long term. You've got two in the next 5 years, including this last draft.
Exactly.
You don't have financial wiggle room. You might as well try and cash in and win a championship now, because it's going to be real tough to win with this group moving forward if this group can't get it done on its own.
He's 41.
Is the story tired, by the way?
We know what he is.
Let me forget about 41.
Look at his numbers and look at his play.
Do you
not forget his age?
But I can't.
What do you mean you can't?
I can't. You're telling me I got to give up two guys who are a part of a future in an East that is wide open to have a 1 to 2 year window to win it off a team that got swept in the first round?
Are they a part of the future? That's the question.
You're bringing up a guy who got swept out of the first round of a Lakers team with Luka Doncic, one of the best five players in basketball.
And who else?
And
who else did they have? They had shell-shocked Luka, and they had LeBron.
Shocked Luka.
Do you want a new song?
I like that.
Thanks.
I like shell-shocked Luka, song. You're onto something with
that. Wrap it up. Let's go.
We are an ankle injury away from this thing completely blowing up. All of those things.
How about a big toe injury away from this thing blowing up?
Injury away from really making this thing a series. I just don't understand this urgency that we're all living under. That oh my gosh, the magic bullet is here. Go get LeBron. Go get LeBron. Go get LeBron.
No, we're not saying go get LeBron. We're commenting on what's being thrown out there.
I know, but I'm saying the fan base as well, because it's floating all over the place.
You're thinking they're going to figure out how to win with 2 6-1 ball dominant guards, and Kevin Durant disagrees with you.
Of course he does.
We'll hear it at noon.
As he should.
Sounds good. All right, Tom Hammerstrom's next. Well, he's the one that kind of fueled the fire on this story, so we're going to go find, what would he be? He'd be the log? Would he be the lighter? Would he be the torch?
Well, he's one of those burning logs.
All right, good enough. 216-474-0092. We continue to ponder LeBron James 3.0. Baskin and Phelps. So go ahead. You want to bury me? Bury me. If you're going to go,
I'm not saying a word.
Okay, I'm just making sure. Maybe
it's radio. We don't have pictures.
Maybe you should walk
online. Moment. Watching us.
Anyway, he wrote that story, and we're sitting here trying to figure out, is LeBron James 3.0 a good idea? I think we're all kind of kicking it around. So he wrote the story. We're going to have him here in just a second. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Let's just do this just to be a nice guy. Ken is in Brooklyn. Hi, Ken.
Kenneth.
Good afternoon, or I guess still good morning, guys.
Yeah, morning. Still morning, yeah. Yes.
Thanks for the memories. That's where I look at. You know, you got a young whippersnapper on your station, talked about this forever. In fact, he said, this is why I got into sports. I'm like, I think you need a better idea about getting into something than just that. I don't want LeBron in any state, whatever. No.
What if I guaranteed you a trip to the finals? What if I could look into my crystal ball? I'm guaranteeing you a trip to the finals. Now would you take him?
No.
Mm.
Here, you know what? You don't want to be in a situation like the Lakers, the Bucks, or the Celtics. Those three teams have either disbanded their team, or thrown it away, or they can't do anything. Now, Dan was saying, you want to come back on the minimum? Okay. But I'm not paying you $50 million. That's why Pelinka can't do nothing out in L.A. worthwhile, because you got two guys that take up half the cap.
All right, but let me throw this at you, Ken. I was going to throw this to Andy. How long do you keep the core four together if they don't win a title next year?
Until you get in trouble.
You might be in trouble now.
No, the cap is going to continue to rise.
Yeah, but you might be in trouble now, Ken. You don't have a lot of draft choices.
No.
And you don't have a lot of wiggle room financially.
I understand.
If they don't win next year, let's say they get knocked out in the second year, you know, what's the definition of insanity?
Well, I understand that. But what I was going to say here is you talk about two ball dominant guards. What they need to do is, like J.A. always says, hey, feed your local big man. The guards, the two guards have got to step back a little bit and not jack up 19,000 threes and send it to the big guy that's got a two-footer.
But why don't they do that, Ken?
Well,
see, that's the thing.
Has to be.
That's the thing.
Okay, but that's the change, Jeff. You got to stop it. Look, guys, if you're hitting threes, that's one thing. But if you're jacking them up and you're 8-for-30, I mean, come on. You have a brain. You know, my dad always said, use your head for something more than a hat rack. Okay, you can think, right? You would think they can think, right? I would hope they can think. They're intelligent people.
Ken, I couldn't agree more with what you're saying. I've been saying it. I would sit Darius down if they bring him back in the core four, as they've said, and say, hey, look, see this tall kid over here?
Yeah.
We need to get him about 18 shots per game.
At least.
And that means you need to take about 4 or 5 fewer shots a game and pass the ball even better than you did last year when you were 12th in the
Absolutely.
NBA.
And don't throw away the ball like he does. He's all these stupid passes, like he's trying to be Julius Dr. J. Okay, I mean, this is getting you got to have some more discipline, and you can't be jacking up threes. You're not the Boston Celtics. I don't want to see 40 threes in a game.
Sing it.
You know, I don't want to see 40 threes in a game. I'm sorry.
I mean, with you too.
If you can hit them, that's one thing. But if you've shot about 8 of them in a game and they're not going in, isn't it time to get the ball to somebody else?
Good point, Ken. Ken, thank
Ken's
you. Have a good holiday weekend, my friend.
You too.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Ken in Brooklyn, trying to make points. Tired? Yeah. Do you think that this market is, I can't believe I'm saying that, is tired of LeBron and could care less if he comes back? Do you think we're tired of it? Is the story just old and tired?
Well, we've seen it before. Here's the thing. It's not LeBron to me. In this situation, we're responding to stuff that some of the national guys are writing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what this is about. I'm not sitting here banging the drum to bring LeBron back to Cleveland. I get it. The organization wants to win without him. I can flat out guarantee you that. They want to win without LeBron James. They haven't done it. They haven't won big without LeBron. They haven't been to the NBA Finals without LeBron in franchise history. They want to win without him. But a lot of the folks are speculating that this is a move and blah, blah, blah. Dan's right. Dan's missing one thing. Even LeBron James knows that 50 million something, whatever, is a lot more than 3 or 4.
Oh, I don't miss that. I know that's the reason why I picked that option up.
I don't blame him. Wouldn't you?
I mean, put that many zeros in front of somebody?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, of course he should. And can he win in Los Angeles with Luka and DeAndre Ayton? Maybe. Maybe. DeAndre Ayton's there now. They have a big guy. Can they put some pieces around him? They have Austin Reeves. I like Austin Reeves. He's tough. That Laker team was, what, third in the West last year? And they added DeAndre Ayton.
Mm-hmm.
They could be good. He might not have to leave.
Yeah. Wendy was the guy that said it, that LeBron's, the Lakers' view of LeBron has completely changed, right? That he's not foundation. He's an expiring contract.
Well, he's now the biggest compliment that you can find in a player to Luka Doncic. Luka's the man.
How do you think LeBron feels? I'm saying that based on us covering him.
He's smart enough to know that he turns 41 in December. He also saw Tom Brady do some great things when he was older than 41.
True.
I mean, and LeBron's game, though it's not like it used to be, is still really good. Still really good. Andy, I'm not advocating for a trade. I will tell you, I think LeBron, between Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley, gives them a better chance to win a championship than Darius Garland and Jared Allen with Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell.
Even at 41 years old.
Even at 41 years old. If they're looking for a 1 or maybe 2 year shot at it.
I think the other part of the story is that, like, I don't want to get sucked into the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, is LeBron now mad at the Lakers front office because they do view him as an expiring contract and not as a reason why they win championship. You know what I'm saying?
Welcome
but
to
they've
pro
got
sports,
to know that. Yeah, you know? But that's, I mean, that's LeBron's never had to play by those rules before.
No, and do you think he would accept a complimentary image here? No, he'd come back wherever he would go. He would be front and center.
Yes.
I mean, I would guess he would clearly outshine Donovan Mitchell when it came to being the face of the team. Because he's LeBron. It's the Cavs. It's Northeast Ohio. It's his home.
So does Mitchell fall into the Kyrie Irving role?
No. He'd be in a bigger role than Kyrie played, but he wouldn't be the man. I mean, he would be, but
is
he wouldn't
Mobley
be.
Love then? I mean, I'm just kind of comparing to the championship.
No, Evan Mobley's the key to the whole thing.
Can LeBron see that? Like
Ken in Brooklyn can see it. Ken knows exactly. I've been screaming it. Make that guy the number one or 1A option on this team. When that happens, you really could have something going on here. I mean, the fact that Evan in his career has averaged in the 12 or 13 shot per game range and it hasn't changed much is mind-boggling to me. And the only reason I can think of is because you have two shorter guards who get a ton of shots.
All right, so Tom's going to join us here in...
Tom Haberstroh.
Yeah, so in about 10 minutes, or less, little less than 10 minutes. So he had to push it back just a second. So we're going to talk to him. Again, he is the one that wrote the story on Yahoo Sports, LeBron James to Cleveland, ? Why heading east for the crown could be the move. Do you see that as well, too, that opportunity is there?
East is more wide open than the West.
And LeBron sees that.
Well, right? Everybody sees that.
Yeah, but I mean, like, maybe that's one of the reasons why, you know, LeBron wanted to stay in the East when he made the move coming back home. And do you think he was toying with everybody with the hat that he was wearing in the Instagram
playing
thing?
Golf the other day?
Yeah, there are parts of me that think that we're just part of the LeBron media game. I mean,
you think?
Well, I mean, it happens all the time, though. I think back to when he left the first time and all the teams that came in to come see him when he was over at the IMG building, when his offices were over there and owners were flying in, landing at Burke. They were doing presentations for
bringing
him.
Championship rings.
What was ours? Was a Simpsons presentation, wasn't it? Wasn't that what they did, Jeff? That they commissioned a Simpsons with LeBron James in it because they thought I don't know. All right, Tom's coming to come and join us next year. We'll talk to him about the story and everything else that's going on with that. It's Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092. Tom Haberstroh is from Yahoo Sports. He wrote that story, and right now he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tom, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you.
Hey, no problem. Happy to be here.
All right. First of all, LeBron James 3.0 is an interesting thought around here in Northeast Ohio, especially with the core four that we have right now. And to obviously get LeBron to come back here for a third time would mean breaking up that core four. So just as you put, you know, your fingers on the pulse of the story when you went to go write it, what were your thoughts as you wrote the story?
Well, there's a couple things going on here, which we have to discuss, is that the core four has been pretty disappointing in the postseason the last 2 years. Some of that just performance-based, just not meeting expectations, but also injuries, is that you can't tell one story without the other. Mm-hmm. And I think that Cleveland certainly wants to win a championship without LeBron. It would be an amazing story, go from the number one seed last season, kind of put everything together this upcoming season, and win the big one. But they seem very far away from that, given how the Indiana series went and how the previous season went. So starting from that place where they have this kind of hurdle that they just can't seem to overcome, that last regular season, I was saying this was maybe the best Cleveland team ever, maybe even better than the 2016 team based on their point differential, their record, and how they were killing people in the regular season. But then you see this storyline, this soap opera that's happening out in LA, where the Lakers still have not announced LeBron James's return. It's very bizarre that they have basically sat out this offseason. They let Dorian Finney-Smith walk to Houston, a rival that they're trying to beat in the Western Conference. And then they sit out on all the centers except for DeAndre Ayton, who was just waived by the Blazers. And is that your championship roster right now? Because they don't really have many moves left. And so I think LeBron James might have gotten wind of this, that the Lakers and Rob Pelinka might not have been going all in while he's in his age 40 season, turning 41 in December. And I started in my head trying to figure out what is the move behind the move. And to me, given how horrible the Eastern Conference is right now, and that was the gist of the story, was LeBron should have his eyes on going back east, because how bad the East has gotten since the playoffs started, and also how good the West is. I just think that LeBron James, for winning a championship, he's much better off going east. And right now, Cleveland is the best team in the East, and also a team that might be hungry to add a player who's second team All-NBA last year and has already won a championship in Cleveland. It might be the missing piece.
Tom, when the Kevin Durant trade demands and everything out there with the Phoenix Suns, I said, if you put Durant in between Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley, you've got a phenomenal opportunity to win an NBA championship. I would have loved Durant here. He's younger than LeBron. He's different than LeBron. If at age 41, LeBron came here, I still like the chances of Mitchell and Evan Mobley and LeBron more than I like the core four and whatever you could put around it. Do you think the Cavs would feel that way? And what do you think about that?
Well, there's already been some kind of rumors and whispers about Darius Garland being potentially available in a trade. You hear that about a lot of stars in the league, and certainly with one that is dealing with this turf toe injury that required surgery, and he's probably going to be, you know, questionable to begin the season healthy. And if you watch Desmond Bain go through the same injury a couple of years ago, the first year coming back from an injury like this is not pleasant. It is not not an optimistic scenario with Darius Garland coming into his age 26 season and trying to defend at a high level with the finals you saw between these two teams, Indiana and Oklahoma City. Like, the bar to clear for Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell in the backcourt is so much higher than I thought. That Indiana did this to every team that they played with Andrew Nembhard and Aaron Nesmith, and even Tyrese Haliburton just raised his level defensively. I think that Cleveland is looking at Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell and seeing the fact that they're owing them about $300 million going forward over the next few seasons, and thinking, can they really compete on a two-way level with the best teams in the NBA? And I think the four-team trade that I proposed in this article, which involves Utah acquiring Darius Garland, I think it makes sense from the standpoint that Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell are not elite two-way players. And to win a championship, you need as many of those guys as you can. And LeBron is one of those guys, as we've clearly seen over the years. He takes it up a notch in the postseason and becomes an all-world defender. Even at age 40, I think he's able to flip that switch. I think for the Cleveland Cavaliers, it takes a real gut check, real looking in the mirror to identify the weaknesses on this roster. And I think what Channing Frye said, and I mentioned it in the piece, Channing Frye said there's no bully on this Cleveland Cavaliers team. And in order to have a bully, they have to do some roster changes. And I think LeBron is that bully that they could be seeking, someone like Kevin Durant that you can go to, and they just tilt the game in their favor in the postseason. And I think they'd really lack that on this roster.
Tom, I thought you said something really interesting right out of the gate about winning without LeBron in Cleveland. And, you know, we've talked about that before, that in some ways it feels like that is that's the bar that the front office and ownership in particular in Cleveland wants, and to try to be able to do that. It seems like they came close. What would it mean, and how difficult of a decision is it, you know, for Dan Gilbert to say, okay, we got to go back to LeBron the third time here?
Yeah, I can understand that is the goal, is to prove that we don't need LeBron, that we're bigger than LeBron, that we can do this without LeBron. I just think that the Lakers felt the same way, is like, we don't need LeBron, but it would be great to have him to chase a championship. And they did just that. I think other teams, Pat Riley included, feel like, I don't need LeBron, but if we can get him, he's LeBron James. He might be the greatest player of all time. And so put your personal grievances aside or personal biases aside, and the chip on your shoulder that you want to do this without LeBron. The two other teams that won a championship with him, they felt the same way, probably. Like, Kobe Bryant is a god in Lakerland, and they decided, the Lakers did, let's bring in LeBron. And I think the same thing in Miami is with Dwayne Wade. They all put their egos aside and they said, if we have a chance to bring in LeBron James and be the face of the franchise, so be it. So I think all these teams that have been able to play with LeBron over the last 20 years, I think they all face a similar choice, and we all know how it ended in championships.
Tom Haberstroh joining us from Yahoo Sports. Tom, the idea, and you've thrown it out, we've talked about it as well, the core four with the two smaller guards, that's tough. If the Cavs, let's just say they roll it back next year, as they've said they're going to, but you know what are they going to say at that point? If they roll it back and it doesn't work, you can't do it again after next season, can you? I mean, you've got to, I would think enough is enough, and you got to change it up a little bit, do you not?
Yeah, and especially with the repeater tax and the tax implications of keeping them together, I think if you're clearly not in that top tier and fighting at the very end to make it to the championship, I think you have to break it up. And look, we've seen 2 years of this, and yes, there have been injuries that have given the front office and the coaching staffs and the players an out, an excuse, like, hey, we didn't have all our guys, and the other teams did. But I would also posit that even when they were healthy, like when they were actually getting, you know, 2, 3, 4 of their guys on the floor, it still wasn't maximizing their potential. So I do think that the game is very different in the postseason, and Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell in particular can be exploited. And this is a weak link NBA now. And what I mean by that is teams are so smart now and can kind of move the chessboard around that they are going to target weak links, either offensively or defensively. They're going to leave you open if you can't shoot offensively. But defensively, if you can't guard your yard, they're going to target you relentlessly. And Tyrese Haliburton used to be that guy that they used to target, and he got way better this next season. The thing about Tyrese Haliburton is he's way taller and way longer than Darius Garland is and Donovan Mitchell is. And so Tyrese is way more able to make up for those defensive issues with his size. And Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland simply can't do that. They can't get bigger. They can't get longer. And I think ultimately, I was big on this team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, to go deep into the postseason this past year. But I've come around on the idea that this is not a core group, the core four, that can win you a championship. After what I saw with the Oklahoma City Thunder and Indiana Pacers, it's really hard for me to envision that this group can beat those two teams fully staffed.
Agreed.
Hey, Tom, I'm also kind of looking at that second apron thing and how it hinders, you know, the Cavaliers like tremendously. I mean, is Garland their only money they have in the checkbook to try to make moves and try to get better? And how do they do it? That's the bigger question I have about the Cavs. And I think everything you've said, it was like dead on. Is that the only money they have in the checkbook?
No. I mean, they have long-term money on all those guys.
But I'm saying to get rid of them, right?
Yeah, but I think Darius Garland, the reason why you get rid of Darius Garland is because I think teams are always looking for a lead guard. And they already have Donovan Mitchell, and so it might be a little duplicitous to have Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. And so for Utah, they've been desperate to find a lead point guard, and he's young enough that I think they could be interested in that. So Evan Mobley, I don't think you move that kind of talent. Jared Allen's interesting. He's in that 14 trade going to the Lakers, but now with DeAndre Ayton, even on a one-year deal, maybe they're not as interested in Jared Allen. But I've already previously written that I think the Cavs, Jared Allen is a rim-running, rim-protector that a lot of teams would covet. and including the Lakers. And he's a long-term contract at like $20 million a year around there. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But Darius Garland's a lot richer contract. And so that's why I think, because of the duplicitous role with Donovan Mitchell, he would probably be the first one to go.
All right, last question, just because we're going to wrap it up here. LeBron James being a Cavalier next year, odds? Or give me a percentage.
I'll go 30% odds that he's a Cleveland Cavalier. I think the Knicks are really interesting, too.
All right. Substack is the other place we want to hit you up, right? And that's Tom the Finder on there, right? I just want to make sure I got it right.
TomTheFinder.com, Basketball Illuminati Podcast, as well as my Yahoo Sports stuff. So that's where you can find me.
Tom, we really appreciate your time today. Take care.
Thank you, Tom.
You got it.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, hopefully again. Again, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.